That's right. We're right back here, WCRS Studios, this afternoon. It is February 12th, and gosh, a lot of people have birthdays today.
Who?
Who? Jim Medford, for one.
Jim who? What? Medford what?
Jim Medford, yes. The Humane Society. You know, Jim Medford, that Jim Medford guy.
That guy.
Yes. He's got...
He's got to be, what, 29 by now?
I won't say a word, Karen. If
that was a long pause, Anne. Wow.
Just because I happen to see on Facebook. And even then, I question, is that the right age, Jim?
That's what the Humane Society will do to you.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right. Well, gee, it is so terrific to have you here. The Humane Society made the big move last summer. Yes, spring,
yes.
Summer. And been just getting all settled in, been through lack of food, and then got so much food you almost don't know what to do with it. You're going to have a new job here, so.
Oh, my goodness.
Changes.
A lot of changes, Anne. And you know what? Be careful what you ask for. A lot happened at one time. Now, I couldn't be more grateful, and I can say in my 20 years of involvement with this agency, there are the highest highs and the lowest lows, but you always come out so grateful for the support of the community, you know, for you getting the word out that we needed food, for the community at large supporting this new shelter. And it's all for animals. And all of us have that same, I mean, my goodness, you've got Gracie here, and there's just a connection with animals that bring out the best in people that we see. And there's some things that, of course, we don't enjoy and don't like, but for the all in all, Greenwood's fantastic to support what we're wanting to do to benefit animals in our community. And we're a small size. And to the contributions, not just monetarily, but the support of food and coming to volunteer have been tremendous. And without it, we couldn't be where we are today, no doubt.
Absolutely. And let's see, where are you located now for those that haven't been there?
We are at 2820 Airport Road. Not very far past the airport on your left, and then Leith Women's Correctional is just beyond that, and we're on the right, and Anne, you can't miss it.
That's true.
We're right there on the road, the beautiful new building, we're right there.
Absolutely. And it's huge. 15,000 square feet,
correct.
Is that right?
We were at close to 10,000 at the old place, but it was a bunch of buildings kind of hodgepodge, not connected totally. And so being under one roof has brought the staff together. I'd say we communicate a lot better. There's a lot better working together and the right hand knowing what the left hand is doing, which was always a difficult challenge at the old facility. And just being inside for the animal's sake. Mm-hmm. You know, at the old place, there were some kennels, lots of kennels, way out. And I always was thinking, you know, they're out there by themselves. People are out there checking on them and feeding them and taking care of them. But at the same time, they weren't inclusive. I just always felt deeply in my heart for those animals, those dogs particularly out there. And now we're all together. And they get, you know, human interaction every day. And it's just such a nice, happy feeling place. And you've been there, you know.
Absolutely. When,
right, not too long after, right, we had moved in, actually.
And of course you've got the cat area, kitten cat area, that's glassed in that you can see the kittens or cats that are up for adoption.
Yes, I call it the aquarium. It's more like a terrarium, but it is a highlight. When people walk in, they are definitely drawn. And even if you're not a cat person, which, right, I've been told there are some that aren't, when they see that, you can't resist the antics and the play and the entertainment that these cats are putting on. And they're as happy as can be in that glassed-in area. But I think the thing about the facility, when all was said and done, and once we learned our way around, it's a very simple design. And it's very simple. It's not, I don't know if I'm using ostentatious.
Yes.
Was that good? Was that good? Yeah.
That's a good word. Yeah.
It's very simple. We use a lot of color to kind of bling it out. It's not very decorated. It was meant to be functional. And that was the most important thing, that it was going to withstand the high volume of traffic of animals and people. And so when you walk in, though, you don't realize it's truly just a functional building. But when you walk in, it is very attractive.
Absolutely. And it's got a lot of floors to clean, right, Karen?
Oh, my gosh. The steps I took walking those floors the first couple months after moving in, oh my goodness. Yeah, there's a lot more floor space to clean. It's a beautiful floor. It's going to hold up forever. it's going to resist germs from soaking into it because it's an epoxy floor. So right off the bat, the floor was one of the most important things about the design, because if an animal comes in and goes potty and it soaks into your floor and that animal may be ill, you have just contaminated your floor from forevermore.
Wow.
This is a floor that, you know, it's going to resist that. And it's really a beautiful floor, and it's so important for keeping the animals healthy.
Absolutely. So you've learned that you need to buy more cleaning supplies, right, than you do
oh
the
my
old
gosh.
Place.
Oh, my gosh. If you want to get a good core workout, come volunteer and clean the floors, because the mopping back and forth and to and fro, it's really good for your waistline.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
We'll take it.
You'll take it. Now, how are you doing on volunteers, just out of curiosity?
We're doing really well. It was funny at first. I kept turning around and thinking, where are all these people who said they'd help when we got into the new place? Because they couldn't come to the old place because it was too sad and blah, blah, blah. And come to find out that many of our core base volunteers were, they realized how, what's the word? Chaotic's too strong of a word. We were just trying to understand the right hand, the left hand, the right foot, the left foot, and make sure we were taking care of all the animals and servicing the people. They knew we needed space. So they disappeared for a while. Now, in the last 2 months, 3 months, it's been overwhelming. I don't even know half the people I see coming in, but they come in, and our volunteer coordinator knows who they are, and they are right to task. And they've helped keep us going a lot of times when we were short-staffed because of illness or turnover. They've come in and they've been taking care of the animals.
Wow, that's cool. Now, you also have, one of the things I was impressed with was the washer-dryer situation that you have there.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it used to be you got rid of things. Now you can rewash them because you have this super washing machine. I mean, I'm just always fascinated with washing
machines. It is. And you... Yes, I'm fascinated, and because I know from whence we came. And so when I give tours, I'm always making sure to show them. I don't know that anyone was as excited as you were, but I'm always thinking, you have to understand, first of all, we had a donor. We had two people that actually helped purchase those machines. They are high-end commercial washer and dryer. High-end. And we could have never afforded it in the budget. They paid for it.
Wow.
I mean... It was a lot of money.
And that means that instead of having to get rid of the linens and stuff, you used to be in stress looking for towels and blankets and that type of thing, you can wash them and reuse them.
And let me tell you, that's another, I don't know if popular is the right word, but it's another volunteer task that I'll look in there, and there are these wonderful people, and they're like, I can do this. I don't want to necessarily go, you know, in and see the animals. It's still a little hard for me because I want to take them all home, but they can sit there and fold and dry, and it's a great volunteer, and it's so helpful as well.
Absolutely. And then you've got a room that's just full of toys and stuff for the
animals. I know.
It's great.
Oh, storage is huge. I mean, we've already maxed out, of course, but with the food was the one. We now have food filled in our adoption counseling room. It's full of food.
Well, you were calling for food just 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe
right.
A month ago now.
Right,
yep.
Right. We were. It was a Thursday afternoon. I thought, I can't wait any longer on this. Our source of food is not coming through, not to any detriment of their own or any fault of their own. And I just put it out there on Facebook and sent an email. And literally the next morning, it just started a constant flood of food being brought in by people pulling up trucks, coming in through UPS, FedEx, the post office. I went to the post office just to do my normal thing. And they said, do you have a truck? I said, no, I don't. They said, you need to bring a truck because our carrier is no way going to be able to bring. And it was 4 pallets of food.
Oh, my gosh.
In the post office. And it kept coming in like 2 more days. They said, you got that truck? I go, no, I don't have a truck. And they said, you need to get a truck. So we kept sending, you know, reinforcements to go pick up the food at the post office besides what was being delivered. It was, I cried because it was so heartwarming, but I was still in disbelief the entire time. 11,000 pounds
of food.
Of dry food. That doesn't even count the wet food that came in.
And it's the right type of food?
Yes.
I mean, that's the
other amazing.
Oh my
gosh.
Yes.
Listen, I'm getting all excited. Yes, because, and we appreciate it no matter what, but if we get food that's of a lower grade or quality, you have to understand these dogs and cats that came in, they may already be malnourished. They don't need low quality food because their stomach's going to get even more upset than it already is, which poses a whole other host of problems. And then if you're an
adopter, you know how it is. You can't change that food once you're on a plan.
No. And so the fact that we got what we asked for, you know, now that you mentioned that, that was completely overwhelming.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yes.
That's super. That is so super.
It is.
And so now what is the food future?
Well, the food future is we have enough to get us, I'm going to say, what month are we? February?
Yep.
Probably to June.
Wow.
And, you know, we've still got two sources that I'm reaching out to that are suppliers of food for nonprofit shelters. However, it's based on what they get from manufacturers that are the overruns. So it's sort of like the dollar store. You're not really sure what you're going to get or when you're going to get it. But this is the first time since 2011 we didn't have any food source. So that was very, I'm like, we just got to this new place. This is not what I expected to have to deal with. So for the community to step up like that was a help that I can't even put into words.
Absolutely. Now, how are adoptions out there?
We've been doing good. I have statistics. We actually increased our adoptions over last year. Let me find it now. We had, for the first 6 months, July through December, 362 last year. This year, we're up to 450.
Wow.
And we've only been in there since the end of, well, the beginning of September. So
right.
We had 2 months of that six at the old facility. So that has been great. We've got a lot more traffic and it keeps growing. I think people still, I've heard there's people that go to the old place and sat there parked waiting for us to open. And there's signs everywhere. The fence is coming down. I don't really know. So I think there's still a number of people who don't know that
right.
we've moved. And so as the word's getting out more and more, and we have implemented what's called an open adoption policy. And what that means is we want to match the pet with the family, the household. It's not like we grill them and come out there and film exactly how their lifestyle is, but we want to make sure that they're happy with the dog or the cat they're getting.
I probably never would have gotten Gracie if you'd done that.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Go ahead.
But we don't want you to, you know, certainly if you go, well, we'll say, what kind of household do you have? Do you have any children? You know, we want to make sure we don't get a dog that, you know, in the past.
And the animals have to match with the animals that are already there.
Exactly.
Get along
precisely.
With.
And so there is a method to our madness. And, you know, is it perfect? No, because sometimes what we see in an animal at the shelter may not be exactly what they are outside the shelter. And so right now what we've changed is instead of asking people to bring their, and it's not cats, we don't force cats to come to the shelter, but instead of having people bring their current dogs,
mm-hmm.
we actually, and it's not all the time, we try to do it because we don't always have the staff to do it, we'll take the dog to the house.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in that current dog's habitat, and that's their area that they protect. And that's a much more realistic demonstration of how that relationship may or may not develop. So that's something new that we're doing. But we're also, you know, I hope this isn't taken the wrong way, but sometimes, you know, there's folks that come in and I go, I don't want to live with them. But that doesn't mean the dog or cat doesn't want to live. They're so much more accepting than I am. And most of us are. So we have to really pull back from being too judgmental. We need to be realistic. Of course, we don't want any dog put on a tether or a chain 24 hours a day. That's
right.
It's dangerous. It's so detrimental to their health. And it actually creates a problem for a dog to be aggressive.
Sure.
And, you know, there's just certain things that we want to make sure. But we can't. They could tell us one thing and get home and do completely the opposite.
Oh, sure.
So we're just doing the best we can with what we have and being responsible in the process. But at the same time, we can't have this long list of, you don't do this, sorry, you get a black X. We can't do that. We're not being responsible caretakers. These animals are just passing through. We don't own them. You know, we're just doing the best we can to get them into new homes.
Does the dog have the capability to call you and say, this
you know what?
Home is totally unacceptable?
I would love to have a USB port in the side of their heads and I can just ask them and download. Because you know they know better than we do.
Well, you know that commercial with Harrison Ford for the Super Bowl where the dog had this collar on and it was ordered
yes.
from Amazon and ordered all this food?
Right. I don't know.
Yeah.
I want a volume control on that. But I think that, you know, you can kind of see too how the animal's reading the person in that interaction.
Sure.
You know, cats maybe not so much. But dogs definitely, if they start cowering away, which doesn't happen that often, then it's you need to read the animal.
Right. Exactly. I've talked to Gracie about adopting another, and she says, no way, I'm a single child, and that's the way I like it, Mom. Nobody else comes in this house.
No, she and I have an agreement. You don't know about this.
I believe it. I believe it. Gracie would do that. She likes being an only child.
She needs to be. Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. So, anyways, so adoptions are going well. How many animals are you averaging at the Humane?
And that's a great question because I don't have it with me. But what I can tell you is that we're probably between 175, 180.
Wow.
And I don't have the new metric of what our daily housing should be. I only have the old one. Mm-hmm. And I need to look at what it is after a year. What is the average amount that we should house daily, responsibly, that we can provide care for and we can afford? We need to be looking at those metrics. And so it's a little bit higher, but for this time of year, you know,
more cats than dogs.
That's the great, this weather, we never saw a lull in cats coming in. And we always, forever, for the 20 years I've been affiliated with this agency and learning about animal flow, especially in the South, we always had at least January, February we could count on. And it has not slowed down at all.
Wow.
The warm, we haven't had that bad of a winter, so they're still reproducing. At our spay-neuter clinic, you know, we spay and neuter all of the adoptions before they, all the animals before they go to the adoption floor.
And do you have it there now?
Oh, yeah. Yes. We do. We have Dr. Watkins from Chinkapin, Dr. Freeze from Greenwood Vet, and we have a vet that we contracted from Anderson area who drives down. They do all the cats and dogs for, you know, very low cost, thank God. And the cats already are showing to be in heat or early pregnant.
Wow.
This was last month in January.
Wow.
And so it's moving forward, and we can talk about this later, we've got to get some plans in place to actively trap, neuter, and return stray cats. We have to. We can't afford not to because we're housing way too many cats. And all shelters are right now.
Right.
We're not the only one experiencing this.
Well, you also have had a trap and release program, right?
We do. The thing is, it costs money. And so we had applied for a PetSmart grant, and we received a very generous grant to help us with veterinary supplies at the shelter last year. And I thought we wrote a really great grant, and I'm sure we did. But we didn't get it. You know, there's thousands upon thousands of agencies applying throughout the country, so we felt kind of cocky, I guess, because we got that first one. And we didn't get it, and that was going to be to offer free spay and neuter for community cats. So that didn't happen. We'll have to find other outlets to fund that, but it costs money, and people are thinking, I'm not going to pay for these. Some will, and it's very cheap. Mm-hmm. But if you had a bunch of stray cats show up, are you going to want to dig into your pockets to pay for stray cats? They're not your cats, technically speaking. But if we had the funding for it, it would be done. So there's some things we have to get in place before that can happen full scale. But it's a must. It's an absolute priority.
Wow. Well, if you have a question and you're listening here this afternoon, you can give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. You can give us a call, and we would be more than glad to talk to you about what you're asking. Well, I've got Karen Pate here. She is with us. She is now moving into the business manager role at the Humane Society.
Yeah.
How about that? Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And you won't have any need to talk to me ever, ever again.
Oh, yes, I will. Don't even think that, Karen.
I will have nothing to say but numbers.
Yes. Well, you know, this has to be kind of fun for you to be in the old studio when you were on the radio on WCRS many years ago. Looks a little different in here, doesn't it?
It looks very different. I'm having a lot of flashbacks. I used to have to get here before 6 every morning. So I would work from 6 to 9 here, then head off to the shelter to do my day job.
Right.
It was exhausting.
Yeah.
But I had fun. It was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot.
Absolutely. So, but this is kind of fun to have her sitting here in the studio talking about the Humane Society, what's going on out there. If you haven't been out there, you need to go out. I mean, you do want people just to come by and see what it's like, right?
Oh, yeah. We've had people want to check it out, and you know, just to come look at the cats and the dogs and just, yes, especially if you've been to the old place, please come out and appreciate the new one. You know, we're still the same folks and we're trying to upscale ourselves to go with the building. It's a little slow coming, but we definitely are proud of what we have. And I think that we serve the community very well. And those of us who appreciate good care for animals.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been a huge, huge change. So don't hesitate to go by it. What's the address out there?
2820 Airport Road.
And what are the hours that you're open?
We're open to the public, and we'll discuss this later because I think it's important. It's Tuesday through Saturday, 12 to 5.
12 to 5, Tuesday through Saturday. Put that on your calendar as something fun to go check out and see what your tax dollars went to build.
There you right? go. There exactly. You go. Exactly.
All right. Right now it is time for South Carolina News. We'll be back. Don't you go away. The antique vintager has arrived in Greenwood. He's been in Greenwood, but he's been incognito. Now unveiled for the very first time, the antique vintager, the one and only Jeff Eller, is debuting on the national stage with his podcast. Shouldn't you be one of the first to come in and see him and see what you have with What's It Worth? Can you sell it? Do you want to sell it? And should you sell it? Only the antique vintager can tell you such things. So come and see us at 637 Durst Avenue East. Call first for your appointment. 864-229-6613. The antique vintager, Jeff Eller, is in the building. Oh, that's right. We're right back here, WCRS. If you've got a question for Karen with the Humane Society, you know the number to call, 229-7984. I do want to mention one thing, though, Karen. I mean, this has nothing to do about what we're talking about. But last night was the first night that Sports Talk, the show, has gone off the air. And it's not due to anything of my own. They disbanded the show. But last night, I had several calls telling me, you screwed up.
Oh, no.
But I didn't screw up. I just want to say this. This is the people that owned the show closed the show down. So now we have Lars Larson coming in at 6 o'clock. But for those of you that think that I did this, I did not. So
you had no choice.
I had no choice. I could have just let the
You want to do sports talk right now, you and me?
Yeah, let's talk
sports. Let's do it.
Well, how's Clemson doing, Karen?
I don't know.
How's South Carolina?
I don't know.
Well, that was our sports talk show for today.
I thought it was beautiful.
There you go. All right, but we have had some calls coming in, some nice calls. Barry says, do you need volunteers or just money?
We need both.
Both. Okay.
But, and you know what? Volunteers have a certain value that you can't. I mean, it's priceless because what a person can do to spend time with animals. We need help cleaning our floors. Oh, my gosh.
How do you have people that come out and just pet and play with the animals?
Absolutely. I mean, we need the enrichment because, you know, these animals are not meant to be in cages and they can really start to get stressed and just go downhill in terms of their mental capacity. And they're harder to adopt if they become depressed. And we've seen that happen. Or dogs can get what we call cage craze and they'll start spinning around. And my gosh, you know, you'd be an amazing individual if you say, I want that one. And you got Gracie. So you might be that individual. We volunteers help at offsite events. They help us with the day in and day out running of the facility, but also, yeah, just to come spend time with the animals. And we have orientation the first Saturday of every month at 10 o'clock. It's usually posted on our Facebook page, and I'll be glad to leave a number. You can call 223-2498. And there's a little menu now because we're all upscale, and it'll say press whatever number if you'd like to volunteer. And Hope is our volunteer coordinator, and she's wonderful, and she will talk to you, and she could even meet with you to find out what you'd like to do because different people have different skill sets they want to offer or try something completely new.
Absolutely. So being a volunteer is one of the good things that makes the Humane Society a special place to be.
They're our family. Honestly, there's people that I have befriended who are volunteers that I consider family.
Yep. You know, we need to talk just a little bit about you before we answer these other questions. You know, you are a phenomenal photographer.
Ann Eller, you're going to make me blush.
No, it's true. You know, one of my favorite shows on Sunday morning is Sunday Morning, I think, on CBS.
Right.
And the end of the show, they always show this moment of nature.
Yes.
You could do that, Karen.
Oh, thank you so much. It is my bliss. Not that animals aren't, don't get me wrong, but this is just Karen, Citizen Karen.
Yep.
Out there doing what I love best. And we have some of the most beautiful, your backyard.
Yeah.
The station. I did not realize, I'm embarrassed to say, I've lived here 30 years. I did not realize within an hour's drive the beauty that we have available to us. Free!
Yes. Well, I know you've taken some pictures over there and 96 at the historic site over there.
I love it.
Just beautiful.
It is so beautiful back there, and I've gone off trail a couple times. So if you don't hear from me for some reason, please go there and look for me, because it'll just be me and my camera, and I'll be who knows what. But even this time of year where it's not pretty and green and lush, it's still pretty.
Absolutely.
It's got its own unique, and it's so quiet. It's a nice place to get away.
That is true. So I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you, Ann. I appreciate that very much.
You do a phenomenal job. If you see her on Facebook, she always has good stuff that she is posting there. The hummingbird pictures. Oh,
yes.
My God. I'm telling you, those were something.
Hummingbirds are fantastic. Amazing. Little flying, little, I don't even know. They defy nature in my mind. I look at them. They're like, helicopters can't even do what they do. They go backward, forward, sideways. It's amazing.
That's true. So make sure you check those out, and you will be glad you did. So we've got a couple other questions. I just did want to mention that. Who do you call if someone...
Ghostbusters.
If someone chains a dog outside with no shelter during the day?
That's a great question. And just so you know, the state law is that all animals, specifically dogs for the most part, have to have access to potable water, they have to have shelter, and they have to have fresh food. So you don't just keep pouring food on top of leftover food from the previous day. So if you see anything like that where a dog's not being provided for, or if they're tethered up and they can't reach it,
yeah,
you have to call animal control. The Humane Society doesn't have anything to do with that part of it. Law enforcement has to do that. And I'm going to give you the number right now.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
Okay. 942.
Okay.
8632.
Okay.
There is a city officer and there are two county officers. They're great. They do a fantastic job dealing with things you and I don't even want to know about and see. And they would be you call that dispatch number. The main thing is, I understand wanting to be anonymous, but if they don't have a way to talk and get back, they might go out there and say, hey, the dog's not there. They need to get additional information. It's so helpful for them to, if they have to pursue a case, to have access to the person who is visually seeing the situation. So you need to be able to describe the address. You need to give the address.
Right.
And describe the animal and specifically the conditions that you're seeing.
And you should give a callback number so somebody can call you back and talk
right.
to you.
Right. And I understand if it's neighbor or with neighbor. I get that. But if you're really wanting to help the animal, yes, by all means, make the report. If you choose to do it anonymous, it just can tie their hands in terms of pursuing anything further than going out there and
because
checking it out.
Because I imagine they're pretty busy.
They're very busy. Well, besides the calls they get, they're also picking up, you know, lost dogs and cat. Well, mostly dogs now. I think they've stopped trying to pick up as many cats because it's been found that bringing cats to a shelter does no good. We need to spay and neuter them and put them back where we saw them.
Wow. You know, and that's another thing. I tell you what, the program that you have where people post the sharing program where you're sharing and everything. Yeah. Where you're sharing information about a lost dog.
Yes, the Lost and Found Facebook page.
Yeah.
Oh, that's been fantastic.
Yes. I mean, I've seen 30, 40, 50, 60 shares getting a dog back
right.
to its owner.
Yeah. It's something that people can participate in, and it's a volunteer thing in and of itself, cross-posting those reports that come up. And that is so helpful because if we can get that animal reunited with its family and it avoids getting picked up by somebody and brought to the shelter, then that is win, 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 win. So if you have found a pet, please contact the shelter, 223-2498, or go online to our website. There's an online form. You can upload a photograph of that animal. If you can hold on to it, God bless you, for a few days and try to make a good faith effort to find the owner. That would be the best thing, then, rather than bring it to the shelter. But you can bring it by, get it scanned for microchip. It may have ID implanted that you don't even know about.
Right.
So we might be able to hook you up with the owner for sure. But that Facebook, you're right, that Facebook page has been fantastic. The online reports get put on there. If you go to our website, you can see all the missing and found reports, and it's a little thumbnail picture. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, and I know you won't be able to believe this, there's people who don't have pictures of their pets.
No, I can't believe that with Gracie. Y'all know
it,
that.
It astounds me. Yeah. But there are but at least you can see where it was missing from, the description of the animal, what the gender is, you know, all that kind of good stuff. So, you know, we have a pet detective volunteer team.
Right.
They're good. And they're constantly trying to cross and see if there's a match anywhere. And whenever they have one, it's like, woo, it's a great, great feeling.
Yeah. It's just, it's such a good way. That is one really good use of social media.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, you know,
right.
There are
very
ones
productive.
That aren't good, but being able to unite that pet or have somebody, I mean, so many times we have this dog that won't leave the yard.
Yes.
Because it's lost or
yes.
something's happened. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think that we're trying to change the way people, they're not stray. They're lost.
Right.
They could be abandoned. They're lost. What do people think a stray dog is? Is that a breed? They just fell out from the sky like it's a stray dog. No, they belong to somebody.
So, right.
And they either did get abandoned, unfortunately, somewhere, or they got out of the fence. We have people who go on vacation, and God bless their caretaker, who's terrified because the dog got loose, and they're calling us frantic trying to find that. There's a whole host of things. And one of them, too, if your pet's not spayed or neutered, they are more likely to want to escape their confinement and go find a friend.
Yes. In the mood for love.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, there you go. So those are some of the things that I think have been added to the Humane Society. You know, you and I have talked for years. Years and years.
Centuries.
Yes, seriously. And it just seems like so many of the problems that were identified when you and I first started talking, and you used to get so frustrated, almost banging your head on the table over there, that you have made inroads into solving.
There's a lot of ways to solve these problems. And, you know, getting the new shelter was the main need. We needed that foundation resource. And now that we're there, now it's time to really run with programs that can be instituted, working with the county, who I'm so happy that they see the need to get some legislation passed locally, because we need to incentivize people in a way to help them play nice and be a team player. And it might mean as simple as putting identification on your pet, because instead of it coming and sitting at a shelter displacing maybe an abused dog that's been saved
right.
from a situation and we're running out of space, so if it can just go straight back to the house that it belongs to, it saves money and it saves animal lives. So There's so much to be done. And so I'm going to be business manager.
Yeah, so you're the business manager now.
That makes no sense,
yeah,
does it?
Well, I mean, you know, you're right. And that's why you have, I understand you've just hired somebody who is going to be taking the executive director role.
Yes. The board has made a selection of Chris Wilson. Mm-hmm. And he actually used to work with us, and he started in the animal field with us. So it's very kismet. In fact, he left to go work for Abbeville City of Abbeville Animal Services, and he was there for a long time. And then he just recently, and I think in the last year, went to go work for Abbeville County, and they built their new facility. And I believe they were combining city and county for that shelter. Don't quote me.
Right.
I might be wrong. And when he gave his notice, he sat across the desk from me, and I was lamenting his leaving, because he's just a real bright individual, and I really like him as a person. And I said, and he remembers this, I go, "You'll be back." I had no idea it would be to take my job, which I very willingly offered up, frankly. So it's really neat how it's come full circle. And he even said, you know, I feel like I'm coming home.
That's a good feeling.
Yes.
That's a good, and it's a good feeling when somebody can come back in that positiveness.
He's evolved so much. He's learned so much working as animal control and running their little shelter. I mean, he had nothing really to work with, and he really did some fantastic things to create programs that, and he's right in line with us in terms of our vision. I'm getting goosebumps. I could not be happier.
That's terrific. Because I know this has been your baby.
It has been my baby. And I mean, there's a lot more. I'm sure when he starts next month, I'll be going through all sorts of different feelings. But I had to come to this point where I was ready to say, you know what? The agency deserves freshness. And I knew that. Not to say that I didn't care. I just knew it needed something to reinvigorate.
Sure.
And I felt very accomplished to be part of the team to get us where we are today. But those things that you go, I know that I know that I know.
Right.
This is one of those. And I was just ready to say, I'm ready for a break. I still want to be involved. I still love animals, as crazy as they are. And I still believe that there's so much growth that I want to witness and be a part of.
And you'll be able to do that as being the business manager.
That's right.
That's right. So it should make for an addition to the team that'll make it even stronger out there.
I do. I think that, you know, it will take a while to wean off me because I just have so much history and knowledge and experience with this specific agency. But he brings on board a lot of newness. You know, he's written ordinances. I've never done that before. I know that he can get some things in place that he's got the confidence and the ability. And he's worked with Abbeville County and City Council, so he's got that rapport. He can step right in and work with our own county council and our county manager and have great, kumbaya, what's the word I'm looking for? Great symbiosis.
Yeah, well, it will take a little bit to get up to speed on how everything is here, but he already has a great background.
Absolutely.
To be able to do it.
Absolutely.
And so, congratulations. You know, you never know how something like this is going to go when you try to find that person to take that job.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I put it off and put it off. I knew I had to get into the new place, but at the same time, I was nervous and trepidatious about who would the board select.
Sure.
And this was such a natural fit. It was almost like divine timing. Everything just really worked out so much easier than I had worried about and envisioned. So I couldn't be happier. I really couldn't. I feel so confident and comfortable.
That's awesome. Well, you know, one of the other things that you've done when you had an overflow of animals is you've sent them up north. They don't have pets up north, they don't understand anymore.
Crazy. Yes.
Are you still doing that?
We still have a rescue program. It's really interesting. We've got fewer going out this year than the year before. And I spoke with the person in charge of this program. And she said, you know, it's really interesting. We've had all these hurricanes come in. Mm-hmm. Well, the rescues that we traditionally work with, because of out of the sense of urgency, are rushing down and pulling these animals that are in distress and displaced from these natural disasters. Well, we've had back to back to back. And, you know, it has eaten into our effort to somewhat, but my goodness, I'm not going to, you know, begrudge that. They're doing what they can. So we are still sent, for instance, let me get out my data right here. We've sent 332 dogs and cats in the first 6 months up to rescues. And there's some rescues within in the state too, but you're right. Most of them are going north of the border, so to speak. North of Virginia.
Probably a good thing to get out of Virginia, folks.
Yeah, they said keep on driving.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so that's a good thing. And what else did you want to talk about?
Well, I want to share, and to keep it in perspective, I want to sticking with data points, you know, because they're animals, and I don't want to ever say, you know, this animal's just a number. They will break your heart. They will make you laugh. They've got all the feels, but. Being the business part of it too, and being responsible to the county and the taxpayers, we have to keep track of what we're doing and what the community is bringing into the facility. The live release rate. Well, first of all, the euthanasia rate has continued to drop, thankfully. But I just want to say over the last 3 years, for the first 6 months of where we are here, July to December, we went from 52%. So over half were being euthanized in 2016. It dropped to 46 last year. And then we had the biggest drop ever. It's dropped to 34%. That's including cats. Cats are usually the issue. There's so many. They're harder to keep healthy because they stress out so much more in a cage, and there's so many. I mean, we're competing with people on the street for a good home.
Yeah.
And so,
well, so when you talk about euthanasia of animals, I know one of the things that you wanted to do was become a no-kill facility.
Right. And that's sort of a label that you adopt. It's not, for instance, you know, a group of people come and bequeath you with a crown. It's not like that. They don't declare you no-kill. It is something that, what it boils down to in terms of working with the No-Kill South Carolina Initiative based out of Charleston, it's not saving every physically healthy and behaviorally healthy animal.
So we're talking, now we have to look at the animals as healthy versus not healthy.
Correct. Because you have to look at where is your time and your funding going to be best spent. And, you know, as I shared with you, you've got animals coming in that we don't know what in the world happened to them to make them have these behaviors. They could be highly aggressive. It's not because they're horrible dogs or cats. We don't know what happened to them to make them that way.
And they can't tell you.
No, they can. And so we're working with them to provide enrichment and try to decipher what got them to that point. But sometimes if you're spending more money on one animal that has these issues and you're not taking care of the 10 or 15 that are great and wonderful and happy and healthy, you know, you're doing a disservice to the ones that are ready to go out the door. And so it's really trying to be smart of how sheltering is not as easy as you might think, folks. Euthanasia is hard. I don't care whether it's an aggressive animal or not. And it's the hardest thing to deal with emotionally, company-wide, morale-wise. It's a very tough thing. And I would love for us not to have to euthanize a single one.
But you can't do that.
We need the community to step up and help. When we have a
How would they help, Karen?
They need to be spayed. There should be no unaltered pets unless you're a responsible breeder. If you're just breeding to make a $300, you know, to pay your electric bill, that's irresponsible. We've got animals that we're spaying and neutering. They're getting fully vaccinated, microchipped. They're ready to go out, and they're an animal that's not going to be contributing to the problem.
Right.
You need to take care of your animal. Know your limits. Don't get something just because it's so cute now, and then now 8 months, 10 months later, you haven't spent the time with it once you got bored, and now you turn into the shelter, and now it's our problem.
Sure.
That's irresponsible, and that's expecting way too much from a nonprofit, from your county, from your taxpayers to pay for your choice. And I'm going to get mad. And so when the community at large, when we tip the scale and there's more pets being spayed or neutered than let to indiscriminately reproduce, when people are taking care of their pets, making wise choices, and the family's not ready for a pet yet. I would rather that than force a dog or a cat on a family that's not ready, because it's going to end up coming back or being tossed outside, chained, whatever.
And then it'll have issues.
Exactly.
Issues. Because it wasn't taken care of properly.
Exactly.
Right.
So when that happens, and the natural byproduct is that we will be so able to reduce that euthanasia to a minuscule number. But until that happens, you can't have it flipped. There's going to be euthanasia somewhere where you've got facilities, and I don't begrudge them. It's just the dynamic. You usually have a municipal shelter, and then down the road or across the way, you have the nonprofit No-Kill. Well, there's still animals being euthanized. It's just being shoved off to the municipal shelter because they're the bad guys. Well, yeah. We're one and the same.
Right. I understand that, but I think a lot of people don't understand that. And I think it is a big misnomer about no kill.
Right.
Because...
Oh, well, we could just shut the door and not let any more animals come in. Sure. You got it. Then that's peachy keen. Then what's going to happen?
Right. Exactly. And of course, as you go into spring, you're going to see more puppies and more kittens being overwhelmed because people didn't get their animals spayed and neutered.
They need to walk through, because I know what happens, because I actually was part of this way back before I got involved. Oh, it's just one litter. I'll find homes for them all.
Right.
Well, we need homes for the ones that are there too. And they're much closer to a worse demise than the ones you have at your house. Or they'll bring them in and say, oh, you can find them homes. No, you find them homes.
Right.
We've got all these. We're trying to find homes.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think people have an idea for a humane society that we run around and we're all like, hello, like Snow White, come in. Oh, we love everything. Come in. You know what? We got a hard job and we need the community to do their part. And a lot of people are, don't get me wrong, but that small percentage that's not is the majority of the problem.
Exactly. Now, just for the record, how much does it cost? If you can take your pets out there and get them spayed and neutered.
We have Animal Allies still. We're still trying to hire a vet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, evidently this is a problem across wherever, because I read an article that was put out by UC Davis that finding shelter vets has become quite the challenge.
Okay.
Because their vet school debt is not supported by a nonprofit.
Right.
Pay.
Right.
So at any rate, with that being said, we still work with Animal Allies. They come down every Thursday, and we schedule the appointments for that. You can call 223-2498. It's very low price. I can't quote it off the top of my head, but they perform the services. The animals go up there, come back same day. You pick them up, done.
So what spay-neuters are you doing at the shelter?
Shelter animals.
Okay.
We are doing some TNR. Okay. We are still doing some TNR, and they people do pay. It's $35. For surgery and a rabies shot,
right.
You cannot beat that.
No.
So we're still doing that as much as we can with the local vets who are participating and coming. And God bless them. God bless them.
That's terrific. Well, you know, we want to have Chris come back, and maybe you and Chris come back in March.
I'd love it. I would love it.
We can talk more about what's going on. But the hours out at the shelter where you can go out and check it out are?
Tuesday through Saturday, 12 to 5.
And that gives you plenty of opportunity. And then when you do go out there, they'll have the time to spend to show you around and let you see. And if you'd like to be a volunteer, they would love to see more volunteers out there. Is there anything, Karen, that you're absolutely looking for? I know you got deluged with the food. So is there anything else that...
Well, this is really off. Yes. Yes.
You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Go ahead.
We are no longer using regular standard cat litter. We haven't for a long time. We copied what Aiken uses, which is fantastic. Creates less dust, less the dust upsets the cat's sinuses.
Okay.
So we switched to pine pellets, which you typically use for, I guess, horse stalls and stuff. We buy a heck of a lot of that from Greenwood Co-op, Tractor Supply. If they're like $4.25 a bag, of 25-pound bag. If you go and get that, we love you forever and ever and ever. Because we buy about 20 bags a week.
Pine pellets. Pine pellets.
Tractor Supply or Co-op or any feed and seed kind of place.
Okay. And that is what you're using for kitty litter.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so there's another need that they have out there. You can certainly do that. Real quick, are you going to have any of the summer camps that you usually do with the kids?
We're supposed to, but I'm not in charge of that anymore. So we'll let Chris work that out with our volunteer coordinator. But we usually do have Camp Good Dog in June, and we haven't had time to even talk about it, quite honestly. But we would love to. We've got other things going on with kids groups coming out. One came out a couple weeks ago and they made a bunch of cat toys, filled socks with something and catnip. I thought, oh Lord. Yeah, but they had a great craft time in the community room. That was a lot of fun.
And you've got the community room. Is that available for the community to use?
They absolutely can. If they want to do a pet birthday party, you can do your child's birthday party. And usually what happens is they ask for the attendees to bring pet food or other, well, we don't need pet food, but other items that are on our wish list that we keep, paper towels. There's lots of stuff we can always get.
Sure.
And just have a fun time spending time with the animals.
All right. Well, Karen, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you back on the show and have you sitting in the seat you used to sit at when you were on the air on WCRS many years ago.
I'm much more alert right now.
than at 6 o'clock
in
the morning.
Right.
Yeah, but thanks for coming out today.
Thank you for inviting me, Ann. Thank you so much.
This has been awesome. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.